Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joysters, welcome to another edition of Pets Allowed, your favourite show all about pets. I'm Kevin, and joining me in the studio today is Kate Holter.
Hi, Kev. How are you?
Good, Kate. It's been, you were here last week for our fabulous birthday show.
We all were, Kev.
Yeah, it was a busy show.
Yeah, it was good to all be in the studio together. We haven't done that for a while.
It was. And look, you might remember if you were listening to that show, we had a very special guest with us in studio at the time.
A very furry, purry guest.
It was the lovely little Shadow Beam. And, Kate, we have some very exciting news.
We do. She's adopted.
Yeah. Gorgeous Shadow Beam got adopted. He's now known as Shadow. And he was actually adopted by Cam, who was in the studios last week as well. So he was here. He met Shadow Beam, now known as Shadow, and he absolutely fell in love. So he came to the shelter decided to adopt.
And just as well, because he was here with a group of other people who also fell in love with Shadow. And they
were from Vancouver.
So they couldn't take Shadow back to Vancouver with them, but he'll be able to get lots of updates on
how he's going. That's right. And make sure they get plenty of photos of that as well. So we'll hopefully be talking to Cam in the next couple of weeks to see how Shadow is settling in. Now, look, imagine coming home from work one day to find your dog or cat missing. Imagine that despite your efforts to find your pet, you never see them again.
Sadly, for many pet owners, this is a reality. Reuniting a lost pet with their owner should only ever be a phone call away. However, each year, thousands of lost pets cannot be returned home simply because their owners cannot be contacted.
December is National Pet ID Month, a national awareness campaign to remind pet owners to identify their pet and keep their contact details up to date.
Our campaign focus this year is to encourage pet owners to update their contact details by attending a chip checker event or just simply by contacting the National Pet Register on 1300 REG PET or 1300 734 738.
Look, pet identification can be a bit of a complex topic, and we hope to share some light on it for you today. Also coming up on Pets Allowed today,
we want to know how to identify your pet and keep your contact details up to date. We'll take you on through the A to Z of pet identification.
If you've lost or found a pet and you're not sure what to do, we're going to have some handy advice for you, which might be good for future.
There are a few myths around microchips. Tune in as we bust a few of them.
Finally, on Dog Dates, we're going to check out a couple of chip checker events coming to a park near you.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is your community radio station.
What you hear on air is the station's commitment to broadcasting quality content for our diverse community.
Email feedback@joy.org.au and let us know what you think about Joy.
The good, the great, the not so good, and things we can do better.
Have your say today.
feedback@joy.org.au.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to have a look at what's been happening in the last week. And look, December is a pretty busy time for us.
It's packed full.
So much going on at the moment.
As I said, it's our busiest time of the year. Everyone else is winding down. We're winding up.
We are, unfortunately, winding up. Now, look, December is also a good time for us because it's a time when people are quite generous.
It's giving. It's a month of giving.
Now, for almost 30 years, generous Woolworths shoppers have kindly included feeding our shelter dogs and cats on their Christmas shopping lists, and by doing so, helping filling the bowls of tens of thousands of deserving animals each year. It is entering its 28th year. It is the Woolworths Christmas Pet Food Appeal, and it's our biggest annual food drive that we have, and pretty much one of the only ones that we have going on, that's regularly going on. From everywhere from Ashwood to Melton, our kennel-shaped appeal bins are making a return to 61 participating Woolworths stores across Victoria. Now, look, in previous years, we've had up to 100,000 $1,000 worth of food donated. And that means we don't have to spend that money on food because it's being donated to us instead.
That's right.
Which
we
is
can
great.
Spend that money on other things like, you know, surgery or
behavioral
rehabilitation. And so it's a really vital campaign for us. Yeah,
absolutely. So if you want to check out which stores that is available at, you can go onto our website, which is dogshome.com. We've got a list there of all of the stores that have them available. And, you know, if you're out shopping at Woolies, just make sure you drop one or two extra foods or treats, particularly cat food, Kate, I believe.
Yeah, we tend to run out of cat food more often than we do with dog food. And, yeah, treats also. We use treats with the behavioural rehabilitation and finishing school program. So, you know, actually we're a bit low on those right now. So.
We are, yes. Now, look, if you can't get down to a Woolworths store, there are other ways to help support us this
Absolutely.
Christmas.
Absolutely. Now, Christmas is one of our most important fundraising appeals as well because, it's a very busy time. We expect to take in over the 3 months of Christmas and summer of 3,621 cats and 3,610 dogs, which is a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of care to provide. We actually need to raise around $550,000 just to provide the care to these animals, and that would include behavioural rehabilitation, veterinary care for these animals, and that could be just basic dentals right through to orthopaedic surgery. A lot of these dogs will go through finishing school to prepare them for adoption, just to learn some basic obedience, behavioural rehabilitation as well, which goes for a lot longer. So, yeah, if you want to make a donation to help the many dogs and cats that will come into the home over the Christmas and New Year period and summer as well, please go to our website at dogshome.com. You'll see a lovely banner up there with Chance and Lola, two dogs, a dog and a cat that we helped recently, and you can read through their story. And that's pretty much sort of talks about the sort of things that will help what we do for dogs and cats and all those ones that will come in over Christmas. So, and you can make a donation.
And you would have heard recently about our human walking program that we had on the 21st of November. If you didn't get a chance to come along, you can check out some great photos and video from the event, which is up on our website now, also on Facebook. And there's a great video, which if you've got half an hour to spare, you can watch it. We actually strapped a GoPro onto a dog when we were there, and he wandered around with this little GoPro on.
It's great footage.
It is great, actually. To see just how much attention he got when he was there. So it was really good. Because you just see lots of pats.
Exactly. It's actually really exhausting because he looks so busy.
I sped that up as well. So I made sure that footage was a bit sped up so you're not sitting and watching. It's actually 2 hours worth of footage. Yeah. So that's been sped up. So yeah, check that out. It's on dogshome.com. You can also see a shorter video, which has a little bit of that in there as well.
And
You're there, you might see a lovely cat named Quill, Kate.
That's right. And so Quill is a lovely cat who's in up for adoption currently with us. And Quill has had a bit of an accident before he came into the home. He had an injured leg, and it was injured so badly that we felt the best thing for Quill going forward was to amputate it, which would help with his general health and well-being. But he's so affectionate. He's the most divine, affectionate, smoochy, smoochy cat. He actually headbutts you when you stop scratching him or patting him just to tell you to keep going. He's 2-year-old. He's Tabby. She's a girl. I'm getting my sexes wrong today.
You are. he might identify. But
she's a very attractive cat as well. So she's just beautiful. And the photos of her on the website are divine. So come and meet Quill at North Melbourne. Or you can view her profile on dogshome.com and also her story as well.
Now, every week on Pets All Out, we do like to feature a dog or cat. Now, very special.
This week's Pet of the Week.
And, Kate, we have the gorgeous Kira.
We do. Kira is a bull Arab cross. She's female. I'll get that right from the outset. She's 1 year old or about 18 months old. She's a very big girl. Now, she, being a bull Arab and a hunting breed, is a very energetic working dog. So someone who wants to take on a dog like Kira needs to be fully aware of the commitment that's required. She'll be loving and loyal and gorgeous, but you need to make sure that you will be able to put in lots of time for exercise. She'll need long periods of exercise on a daily basis. She'll also need lots of training, being a large dog. It's to keep her, in control and to enjoy owning her, to be able to take her out and get in off the and work off the lead with her. It's important that she understands, you know, how to come back to you when you call, to sit and wait patiently, you know, to travel in a car well. You probably also need to make sure that she's well socialized. Because of her size and strength, she's probably not the best dog for a family with small kids and perhaps other small dogs as well.
That's more for safety than anything else.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're looking for a lovely, goofy girl, then come and meet Kira at our North Melbourne shelter. but also just a reminder again to really have a maybe chat through with one of our attendants down there about the commitment that's required to own a dog like Kira. Her ID number is 982738, and you can view her profile on dogshome.com.
Thank you very much. We did get a message in from SJ who said, "Hey, Pets Aloud, sounding fab as usual." Thanks, SJ. It's always lovely to hear from you. Now, on the program, we are going to be talking all about National Pet ID Month. And coming up, we're going to be looking at what National Pet ID Month actually is. You're on Pets Aloud with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Every year, thousands of lost animals are brought to shelters across Australia without identification or identification corresponding to outdated contact details. This makes it incredibly difficult and sometimes impossible for shelter staff to contact their owners and for owners to find their pets. National Pet Register is calling on pet owners to mark December as National Pet ID Month, an annual reminder to get on top of their pet's identification. So, Kate, first question, why December? Why a whole month?
Well, we chose December because that's a time when people are really busy. We're more social in December. We're going to Christmas parties, end of work functions, Christmas, going on holidays. So pets are really vulnerable to going missing at that time because we're probably leaving them alone while we're out for longer periods of time. And, you know, they can get bored, they can get anxious, and they can escape. So it's really important that people keep their identification up to date or keep... First of all, I guess, make sure that their pets are identified with a tag and a microchip and it corresponds to up-to-date contact information. So if you know, an accident does happen and your pet does go missing or get out, then we can reunite you with your pet.
Excellent. And look, you know, December is that busy time of year as well, so it's often something that we forget.
That's right, but it's something you need to be mindful of all year round, of course, but we just sort of think, you know, December's a time
one of those
really
important times.
Yeah.
And Kate, look, more and more pet owners are microchipping. It's one of those things that, you know, it's the law now, so you do need to make sure that your animal is microchipped, and also that, you know, animals that are sold have to be microchipped, so everyone
that comes adopted
from the Lost Dogs Home is microchipped as well.
Most states now.
So if all these animals are microchipped, why are we focusing on updating contact details?
I think because microchips are being small and underneath the skin of the dog, it's out of sight or cat. Therefore, it's also out of mind, I think. So, and I think because also you often get your dog or cat already microchipped, then you're probably not mindful if you haven't actually gone about and done it yourself. So we really, and people just forget about it. Like in our busy lives, if you're moving or you're sort of giving your dog away to someone else or you've, you know, and someone's taking ownership of that dog,
yep.
There's so much going on, it's something that's usually overlooked. So by sort of raising awareness, we're hoping so people sort of stop and think, oh my gosh, have I changed my microchip registration to include my new number or my new address? And by, you know, asking people to stop and think, hopefully they'll take action.
They kind of go, oh, wait a minute, no, I haven't. So yeah, look, and this year we had them, last year was the first time we did these chip checker events. What exactly is a chip checker event? What happens and why is it important?
They're incredibly busy things, that's for sure, because I've worked quite a few, but they're fabulous and they get such a good reception from the general public and dog owners, of course. It's where we set up a station, a chip checker station, either at an event or at a dog park, and we have scanners available and we have a laptops there with our database open, and we just scan dogs to, one, check the microchip is working properly, and two, we key it into the data, into a finder app.
A lookup
application, and it can tell you, one, which pet, which register, because there are more than one microchip registers in Australia, so it tells you which register that microchip is registered with.
Yep.
And then in some cases we can look it up and also check your details and read them back to you, and you can tell us whether they're right or wrong. And quite often, like occasionally, you know, every time I go out to one, there is a dog where we can read the microchip, no problem, but it's not coming up on any register.
There's no details on
that
system.
So therefore there's no, yeah.
And that's obviously a problem. And you also find a lot of, I guess, change of details. So like you've acquired that dog from someone,
yeah,
or it's come from a breeder, occasionally you find that those microchip details don't get updated.
That's right.
Yeah,
people forget to sort of submit the paperwork, and sometimes, you know, microchip numbers are 15 digits long, and while most of the time we scan them and they go automatically into the database, there are times when we need to key them in, and, you know, every now and then, you know, a number is reversed, and that can mean that your details won't come up if your dog is scanned.
Okay, for the first time this year, we've included participating veterinary clinics as well as chip checker stations. Why is that so important, do you think?
I guess the more chip checker stations out there, then the more animals that we can check. We know how popular our chip checker events and stands are when we hold them, but we can only reach so many animals, so we're actually asking vet clinics to help us as well and become chip checker stations throughout the year. So, you know, just in the course of, you know, doing a consultation with a dog or a cat, they can actually ask the owner, you know, have you checked your microchip lately, and then help them with that.
That's good. I mean, it's definitely means that, you know, and that way as well, if they do find that the microchip's moved or something like that as well, they kind of will go, oh, yep, we might need to rectify that situation as well.
Yeah, well, just to be aware.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about what to do if you have lost or found a pet. This is Pets Allowed, the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. December. I wish it was November. This year has gone by so quickly, Kate.
It has. It's almost Christmas.
It's the busiest time of year for us, so we're all a bit frazzled at the moment, I believe. Right. It is December. It's National Pet ID Month. And all throughout the Pretzel Ad today, we are talking about pet identification. You can also get in touch with us on Facebook. Just search for The Lost Dogs
Home
or National Pet Register. We're also going to be doing some Q&A sessions on pet identification with the National Pet Register. We had one yesterday. Right. There'll be one next Thursday as well. So if you are interested, you can come on down on Thursday between 1 and 2 onto our Facebook page and ask a question. Come on down to Facebook. You know, don't move very far. Now, Kate.
Yes, Kev.
A lot of this time of year, especially after sort of thunderstorms or fireworks, you often see some pets that are actually straying. Should we approach them is the first question. And if we are going to approach them, how do we do it?
I think you need to assess the situation. Like, you know, you need to look after your safety first. I think that's really important. So quite often, you know, you'll see something, a lost pet on the other side of the road, and see that they're vulnerable, and you might make a mad dash across the road, and, you know, accidents can happen. So I guess assess the environment and the situation that you're in. And look, I guess read, if you can, as best possible, that animal's behaviour. So in particular, dogs, if they're looking like they're going to be aggressive, and if they're really high, you know, if they're frightened and fleeing, they can be out of fear. So you need to, I guess, approach with caution.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same with cats as well. Yeah. I mean, cats, they might come up to you, but they might snap in a second
as well.
That's
right.
And change their mind as whether or not they like you.
So, yeah. And, you know, so if you're in doubt, then the best thing you could do is, you know, get on the phone to your local council so that they can come get someone to come out. And the sooner you do that, the more likely the animal is to be in that.
To where you are still. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's a case of secure them if possible, but if not, contact the council. They will all have animal management teams. And that's pretty much 24/7 as
that's
well.
That's right. They do have to offer that service. Yeah.
You can always get in touch with them. Now, look, say I have found a nice natured pet.
Yes, and you're able to handle it.
They have a council tag on there, but no other tag. So can you tell me, Kate, what do council tags actually look like?
Well, they can vary from council to council. Some councils will update their tags on a yearly basis as part of your registration renewal. They're usually the plastic ones that sort of slip their, you know, bright colour, green, yellow, blue. So they usually slip onto the collar or have them on a ring. But other councils also have a permanent tag, which is more likely a metal tag. But, you know, it doesn't matter, I think, what tag. If there is a tag, then you need to do the best you can to follow through with that tag. But the council name will be on that tag, generally speaking. Sometimes there's a number, if not, and then you can contact them on your mobile, because usually we're carrying a mobile. Most council people will ask if you can possibly secure that animal. So if you can get it in your backyard safely, if you can get it into your car safely.
And they'll send someone out.
They'll send someone out as soon as possible to collect it. Or you can actually take it into if you have that time and able to transport the animal.
Yeah, absolutely. Take it into a shelter or, you know, the council
pound. They'll be able to help you with all that.
And what about if they, you know, a lot of people have these engraved tags now with the phone number on them. I guess the best thing for that would be to try and contact that number directly, because that's what we're going to do when the animal comes into the shelter.
And it just saves them a trip into the shelter. And that's what most people put, it obviously, their phone number on their animal, because they want, I guess, a member of the public to give them a call. If you can't get onto that person, then I think it's always best to call the local council to get that animal picked up or to drop it into the local shelter or pound, because when people lose their pet, that is one of the first places they will look or make contact with. Yeah, and you know it's safe, you know, so it's not going to get out again. You don't know if your yard's safe or, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, so don't leave it just on the street.
Now, what about if they are not wearing a collar, or is there a sign that we can see that they're microchipped, or is that kind of one of those things that we just go, oh, well, we just need to take them to that council again?
Yeah, I think, no, there is no sign, obviously, but I think it's really safe to assume that they might be microchipped. So the best thing you can do is to get them into a council pound or shelter as soon as you possibly can, where they can scan for the microchip, and they have the authority also to get the contact details of the owner. And again, the animal is safe in that in that shelter or pound, it's not going to escape and continue to stray and be vulnerable to being hit by a car, etc.
That's right. I mean, we have access to all the records as well, so it's more likely that we're going to be able to get in touch with
exactly.
someone.
Exactly. Yeah, much more likely. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'll just hang on to it in my backyard. It'll be safe there. It's going to be too overwhelming for an animal to go into a pound. But, you know, that animal could have travelled quite some distance.
That's
and,
right.
You know, the people who are looking for their pet are not looking in the area where you live, where you put up your posters. It's the best thing you can do is hand it into a council pound or a shelter like the Lost Dogs Home.
You are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Coming up, we're going to talk about what happens when you've lost a pet and how you might go about finding them.
Hi, this is Nicola Charles from Neighbours, and you're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Kevin and Kate on air with you from the Lost Dogs Home. We did just get a message in, Kate. It says, what happens if my dog registration has expired, and will I be fined when re-registering?
I guess it depends on the council and what they will do at their discretion. But yeah, I think if you approach them first, they're probably less likely, I would say, to get a fine, I would hope. So, but the thing is that by law we are required to register our dogs and cats with the local council, so you do need to do it.
Because normally they actually would send you
a reminder
just before the pet's registration just to actually get you in there and re-register.
Yep. Yep.
But, yeah, as sort of Kate said, it really depends on the council
and how they approach that sort of
situation. Best to get in touch with your local council. But, yeah, you do absolutely, if you can, make sure that your pet is registered because it's quite important.
Well, it is the law.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also for your pet safety as well. That's it. Yeah, it just gives you another form of identification should they go missing that will help return them to you.
Now, Kate, if I have actually lost my pet, they have a microchip and a tag, how do I go about finding them?
Well, the first thing you need to do is make sure your details are up to date, which correspond to your microchip and your tag as well, especially if it's a council tag. So if you changed your phone number recently, you need to get onto that straight away because that's how people will contact you. You would contact your local council just to see if they've picked up a dog or a cat matching your pet's description. And always, even if they've got tags, microchips, everything, I always would always go through my local council pound or shelter and perhaps even neighbouring ones, especially after a period of time. In Victoria, we hold lost dogs and cats for 8 days.
Yep.
So that's within 8 days, I would go through my local pound and one neighbouring as well.
And, you know, is it worth looking for them in person if you can?
Yeah, absolutely. The microchips can, microchips can migrate and sometimes they can be missed when people scan them. It's unlikely because council pounds and shelters do know how to scan animals properly and thoroughly. But if they've just got a tag, then those tags can fall off.
Collars can come off as well.
Yeah, exactly. People can take the collar off to go and read the tag to ring up and then the animal escapes again and it's gone without its collar and tag. So, and people might describe your dog as a Kelpie cross, but, you know, in your mind, your dog is a Labrador cross.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, relying on information over the phone, the best thing you can do is go in and have a look yourself. But, yeah, 9 times out of 10, if your pet is identified, you'll be called by
right.
the shelter.
As long as those details are up to date, which is why, of course, December is National Pet ID Month, and we're sort of encouraging people to make sure that they get along to Chip Checker or they contact their microchip register to make sure that those details are up to date so we can get actually in touch with you. Okay, so I've lost a pet. What are some other things that I can do? I guess we've got Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. The way you can put on your Facebook posters with cats especially work really, really well on light, I guess, I don't know if it's actually allowed these days, but on telegraph poles, in local shopping areas. When you do those sort of posters, you can actually ask people to check garages under their house, you know, ask
their
people
sheds, that
their
kind
sheds
of thing.
If they've opened them recently, which meant that your cat could have got in and then they've closed and they've been locked in. So that's really good for cats. I guess also don't give up. That's the main thing.
Yeah, look, we've had the reunion stories after 3, 4, 5 years sort of things, which you can see on our website. Mm. And, you know, there's always a chance. And that's why it's important to keep your details up to date as well, especially if your pet went missing 3 or 4 years ago. And if you haven't had that conclusion, you know, you haven't found them again, there's always a chance that they might pop up again sometime soon.
Yeah. And I guess, and the reason why animals sometimes go missing for such periods of time, like a year or 2 years, is because people have held on to them, you know, that time. So if you do find a lost animal, please, please hand them into your local pound or shelter so that they have the opportunity to go back to their owners. And, you know, if for some reason an owner doesn't come forward, then you always have the
opportunity to adopt
them.
First dibs.
Yeah, you do get get first dibs. So, and letterbox drops are also really handy if you've lost a pet as well.
Excellent. You are on Pets Aloud with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Coming up, Kate and I are going to bust some microchipping myths.
Hi, Daryl Summers here. This is Pets Aloud, Joy's very own pet-friendly zone.
It is National Pet ID Month, and so all throughout December, we're encouraging pet owners to get on top of their pet's identification by firstly identifying their pet and then keeping their details updated. Now, there are a few misconceptions out there, Kate, when it comes to microchips. So we're going to look at busting a few of these myths for you right now. First one is myth number one. I don't need to register my pet at the council because it's already microchipped. That's a pretty common one, isn't it,
Kate? Yeah, that is. People think that those are one and the same databases, but in fact, they're quite separate databases. So you are required to first microchip your animal to register it with your local council. Unfortunately, there are more than one. There's about 6 microchip databases in Australia, so your chip might be on either of those. And council databases, just because you update one doesn't mean it automatically updates the other. So you need to keep in mind when you need to update your details, you need to contact both your council and your microchip database.
You can check the actual database if you're unsure.
Yes.
You just need your microchip ID number, and you can either contact National Pet Register or you can go to petaddress.com.au, mm-hmm. input the microchip mm-hmm. number, and it'll come up hopefully and tell you which one
which register you're registered with.
If you are from New South Wales, though, occasionally it doesn't come up because New South Wales has a database which is just New South Wales wide. So you do need to make sure that you then register it with
a national database like National Pet Register.
So the second one, Kate, myth number two. Once microchipped, I don't need to check that my contact details are up to date on the database.
No, that's not true, Kev. Not true at all. You need to regularly consider and update your details. So if you change anything, you know, regarding your phone number, your address, you need to contact the microchip register to let them know so they can update those details, and also, again, your council to update those details. So it's really important that you do that. They just don't update automatically.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. You can also go down to your vet and get it scanned to make sure that you grab that microchip number.
And I think it pays if you get taking on an animal from someone, or you've purchased an animal from a breeder, or unfortunately from a pet shop. You should adopt, but if you do get one from a pet shop, I think if you've had that pet for a couple of weeks or a month, then just check that the microchip has changed over into your name, because we do get a lot of people that think that that's automatically happened, but somewhere along the line something's gone wrong and it hasn't happened.
You're relying on someone to make sure that form's been put in and that everything's gone through correctly. So you've got to make sure that you check that one.
It's your responsibility, I guess.
Same as when you move and everything like that. Another myth, Kate. No, myth number three. Once injected, the microchip stays put where it is.
Well, I guess most of the time it can, and it does. You inject the microchip in the scruff of the neck between the shoulder blades normally, but sometimes it does migrate, and it can migrate down one of the legs of the animals. It can move its way further down the back. Most people who scan animals regularly, liking shelters and pounds, know that microchips can migrate. They still are readable. It's just that you need to be really sure that you're scanning every inch of that dog or cat to make sure that you are picking up the microchip.
So, yeah, it's definitely worth checking, and also just checking that the microchip is still functioning as well, because that occasionally does happen. Another myth that's quite an interesting one, Kate, and people think that they can use it, is that a microchip is actually a GPS device.
And that's just not the case. A microchip is the size of a grain of rice. It's really, really tiny, and I guess in the future, it may be also a GPS device as well, but currently the microchip holds a 15-digit number, which is a unique number to each microchip and therefore each pet, and that microchip number is on a database, and that corresponds to the microchip in your dog and brings up your details. It's not a GPS device, although a lot of people do think that's the case and ask us to let them know where their dog is when it's missing, but we can't do that. But they are coming, that GPSs are here.
Yeah, look, there are ones out there, but that's something completely different.
That's right, and they're still, I guess, refining that technology to make it small enough so it's comfortable for the animals to wear.
If you missed any of that, don't worry, we are going to recap the main points very soon. It's almost time to wrap up.
It's gone so fast, hasn't it?
It has gone so fast.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Go on, go on, eat your breakfast.
Feast your ears on this. The Joy Breakfast Buffet. 5 unique shows, 5 days a week. Monday, The Brekkie Bears. Tuesday, Triple Threat. Wednesday, Rise Up. Thursday, The Serial Offenders. Friday, Murphy's Law.
Lovely.
The Joy Breakfast Buffet. Weekdays when you wake up. Sponsored by the Pancake Parlor. Book now for your end of year function. Visit pancakeparlor.com.au for locations.
You're listening to Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
This is time for
your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
There is a lot coming up, as we've mentioned all throughout the program today. We have some Chip Checker events coming up very soon.
That's right. So we're starting off this Saturday, December the 6th. We'll be down at Saltwater Reserve in Point Cook. Actually, I'll be down there, Kev. I'll be helping to do some chip checking. We'll be there from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the cost is free.
Free for all of these Chip Checker events. You don't have to pay it.
No, that's right. We just want you to have up-to-date information.
That's right. The next one will be Saturday, December 13th at Edinburgh Gardens in Fitzroy, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
And then Sunday, December the 14th at the AH Cap Reserve in Preston, again from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
And then Saturday, December 20th in Bellum Park in Frankston, which is also 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Just worth noting that bookings are not required for these events.
No, you just need to rock up with your dog or you can have your microchip on you, number, so that we can check it.
Now, so far, Chip Checker has actually checked over 700 microchips since the initiative was launched during National Pet ID Month 2013. If you'd like more information, you can visit petidmonth.com.au or petregister.com.au or give us a call on 1300-REG-PET. Now, Kate, it is coming up to Christmas and you might want your pets to have a bit of a spruce beforehand.
Yeah, you need to look your best, don't you, for Christmas Day?
You need to be looking at your absolute best when all the family is going to be coming around. So the Lost Dogs Home's Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic is offering 10% off all grooming services until Christmas. We're open from Wednesday to Saturday for grooming, and that's at 1 Boundary Road in North Melbourne. And you can book via 03 9329 2755.
And I can vouch for the groomers, that they do a wonderful job. I've just recently had Molly and Tess groomed, and they looked a treat.
You can see some pictures of Molly and after her groom as well. She was the human walking program, looking
she's
very cute,
very spiffy.
Now, Kate, our pet of the week was the lovely Kira.
She's
the Bull Arab cross female, about 18 months old.
That's right. If you're interested in Kira, her ID number is 982738. You can find her on our website at dogshome.com. Or you can contact the home if you want to find out more about Kira on 93292755.
Next week, we are going to be talking about pet safety because it is coming up to fireworks and occasionally there'll be some storms around as well. If you missed the show today, don't forget we do podcast on our profile page, which is at joy.org.au, to search for Pets Loud on the program grid. Thank you to Kate for joining me in studio today.
Thanks to you too, Kev, for your company for anchoring the program.
It's alrighty. Thank you to Oz for producing as well, and for everyone who is getting in touch with us with some questions. This has been Pets Lab with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Of course, don't forget to walk your dogs
and pat your cats.
Pets Lab, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.